I absolutely love this story. It is one of my most favorites. And I don't know whether it's just because of the delightful pastoral scene that Luke describes in his story, but I can imagine the pathway from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And I can imagine the dirt road and walking along, going back to their home and thinking about all of the despair that they had witnessed in the last week. I can imagine how distressed they were. But all of a sudden, there appeared a person with them. Someone walking along, not someone that they knew. And they just strolled together as he asked, "What is it you were talking about?" And they said, "Well, don't you know all of the things that have happened in these last days?" And the stranger asked them to tell everything that had happened. There are a few odd details you might want to know about this travel. For me, it might be a very easy stroll. Not because I was not mourning and depressed, but if it was a town away from Jerusalem, it was downhill all the way because Jerusalem was the highest town around. So they're walking slightly downhill and they're talking. There's not a lot of absolute sure knowledge about who these disciples were. But some of you might find it very interesting that they may have been Cleopas, and if it was Cleopas, it was probably his wife Mary who was with him. So these two disciples were probably husband and wife. Not something that we usually think about, do we? The other thing that I want you to know about this story is that there are deliberate supernatural elements to it. Luke deliberately uses words that make it have the element of the supernatural. When their eyes are prevented from seeing them, it's a supernatural effect that is on them. And then when he appears to them and is revealed to them and he disappears, that also has words that have supernatural meanings to them. So Luke has written this awesome story about this couple walking along, talking, and meeting this mysterious stranger and having to think through everything that they had seen in the time that Jesus was arrested and taken from them and mocked and beaten and treated so horribly and ultimately convicted and crucified. So, what do you suppose this story means to you and me today? There are some things that are fairly obvious to me right from the start. The first is that we are asked to treat everyone as though they were Jesus, right? Usually when we receive that sermon, it's a sermon about a homeless person who shows up in our midst, and we don't quite know what to do with this homeless person who is described as not being one of us, being someone very different. But clearly this mysterious man that they met on the way to Emmaus was not a beggar or was not someone who was an outcast. It was someone who was at least of their social class and someone that they could be comfortable with. So I don't know that it has anything to do, or the message for us has anything to do with learning to see Jesus in homeless and otherwise unacceptable people. Although, I think it is important to us because we don't walk places. How many times have you walked to downtown Sterling and back, or walked from Rock Falls to your home 7 miles away and met strangers along the way with whom you had conversations? Probably not very often, maybe sometimes. I walk. I'm avid about it now. I'm trying to prepare myself for my trip, and so I'm walking. And I walk out at Sauk Valley College, which is interesting in and of itself. What I usually meet out there are mysterious strangers with earphones on, and they usually have some kind of smartphone in front of them, and they don't look up at all. Maybe if they think they're going to run into me, they do, but not too often. And then I see students that are sitting along the outside. There's some chairs all around them, and most of them are way, way, way too cool to talk to an old lady who's walking around. And then there are the people who are the fitness walkers. And I got to tell you, as much as I'd like to be one of them, they pass me by. They go around and around, and I go, oh my gosh, now I've seen you 12 times in the last round I have made. It's hard to keep up with them. It's hard to be with them. And it's really hard to strike up a conversation with people who are so intent on something that they are doing deliberately for their own health or for their class or whatever it might be. So maybe one of the messages, the subtle messages for us, is that we need to really create situations where it's possible to have conversations with people and not just shut ourselves off from them. I would remind you to not forget about church, where you can, in fact, have conversations with other people. And they will talk with you about the glorious things that they have seen. The second thing that I think we might want to remember is that it's really, really good for us to open ourselves up to seeing Christ in everybody. Everybody, not just the homeless. One another. How many times do you look at other people, even here at church, and see Christ in them? Look for Christ in them. It's important to do that. But you know what? It isn't enough. It's not to be enough to be able to recognize him in someone else. We have to show to other people that the risen Christ lives in us. That's important. We must actively witness his life and his love. Our lives must be clear proof to others of the resurrection. The third thing, I think, is that it's important to think that Jesus was recognized by these people in the breaking of the bread. What does that mean to us? Well, for 2,000 years, we have been celebrating communion, in which we have had a portal to communion with the risen Christ. a portal to communion with the risen Christ. In it, we consume a microcosm of the entire mystery of the redemption of life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. In it, we are joined not in a metaphorical body of Christ, but we are joined with a palpable presence of Christ. Jesus is with us. Jesus is in us. So, what are we supposed to do about that? What are we to do? Sit in the pew today and pretend he's not here? Or are we to look for him? Are we to search for him? One thing is as clear to me as it was to those disciples in Emmaus. Jesus is in our midst. He's here in love and in peace and in power. My friends, he is only a prayer away.